All right. Thank you, Tiffany. I can go in. Amen. That's what we have in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the shed blood. All right. I'm going to be a little different tonight. I want you to go to the book of Revelation. We're going to just talk through some verses a little bit. And I want to call it, I guess I have to call it something for the tape up there. Let's call it maybe call it the common righteous war. You generally don't think of a war being righteous, but there's a righteous war coming. And the truth is, it's the only thing that's going to finally fix everything. Revelation chapter 19. Can't take time to expound all of it, but I get a little bit of a setting. In chapter 17 and 18, you've had the religious harlot destroyed, and God's beginning to get praise for it here in chapter 19. And down in verse 7, it says, "Let's be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." Now, we could direct you to it if we had time. I'd say maybe, I know we got some weddings coming up and stuff. But if you want to see a royal wedding and how they dressed for it and everything else, you read the 45th Psalm. That's having an application toward the marriage supper of the Lamb that's going to come when the bride has made herself ready. And says in verse 8, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For fine linen is the righteousness of saints." Do you know why the bride wears a white dress? It's the white linen. It's the picture of righteousness, purity, so forth. "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. He said, I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful, capital F, and True, capital T. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Isn't that what the text, what I said? A righteous war? It says, in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Goes on to describe what he looks like. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Somebody says, animals in heaven, well, these horses are. Now, they may be a little more supernatural, but they're there. And clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the talit. That's the long shawl that the rabbi wore. And you find on the end of that talit was little fringe areas, little tassel-like things. And in those tassels, and still see them today, go over to Israel today and see the rabbis with that on. At the end of it, where those little knots and things are tied at the end of it, they all have meanings and they spell words. And actually, the very word of God himself, the secret name of God, was on the talit here, where the Lord Jesus, when he's riding on the horse, as it were, the shawl comes down on his thighs, and what's the name that's there? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's an interesting thing to see how that follows through the scripture. I want to talk to you just a little bit tonight and about some current things also. But as a setting, here's the end of the tribulation. The Lord Jesus is coming back ruling, fixing to rule, has to win, has to fight, has to destroy the armies of the world to set up his kingdom. Isn't that interesting? You see, the ones that's come back in the army with him is the ones he's already called out earlier. I'm going to be in that army. If you're saved tonight, you'd be in that army. You'd be on a white horse following the Lord. You're going to be in that time when the heavens are open and he's going to come down and the armies of the world are going to gather against the Creator. Amazing. But I can see today an atmosphere that tells me it's true. Do you know if the Lord Jesus came back, they would be quicker to crucify him today than they were the day that he came? There's such an animosity, such an antichrist spirit till it is unbelievable today. But he'll come back. Now, the marriage supper of the Lamb has already taken place. I've often kind of joked about it and said, we're going to be at the marriage supper and then we're going to have a 1,000-year honeymoon. Coming back to the earth for the millennial reign of Christ. We're going to be in that in that army. And we're going to come back at that time with it. And most wars are not righteous, but this one is one that is right. It's going to take it. It's a must. Look at it today. Look at the politics of the world. Look at all the nations. Look at all the struggle. Who has an answer? Nobody. And man wouldn't follow it. Now, he's going to, for a little while, follow the Antichrist. There's going to be a temporary Antichrist kingdom set up. And that'll be the one that'll mobilize the forces of this world against Jesus when he returns. And the Battle of Armageddon will be a battle that sets up the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, literally, upon earth. You know, most wars are not righteous. They're not started to be righteous. Most of them are to gain land or money or power or in many cases a name and glory. You go back through history and you even in your Bible, you read about some of them. Napoleon, for instance, he wanted glory, didn't he? And Hitler wanted glory. He wanted to set up a world kingdom, no doubt about it. Men do that. But this is going to be a war that's in righteousness, to set up the earth in righteousness, in fairness, against sin. Today, it's an awful thing that we see, but this will be a war of righteousness. Now, this war is yet ahead. It hasn't happened. It will happen. And we ask the question, who's going to be there? Well, the army is going to be the heavenly saints that have already been caught up. They've already been at the judgment seat. They've already been at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Some will argue, well, they're going to have the marriage supper back here on earth. I don't think so. I think we'll go through the judgment seat. There'll be some fine tuning, so to speak, at the judgment seat, where the rewards are passed out or lost, where wood, hay, and stubble will burn, and where good deeds and right things will be like the gold, silver, and precious stone. The rewards will be there, and we'll come back in this army, following the Lord. Now, I saw recently where they've, I believe it's in Turkey, where they've imprisoned a preacher, a Presbyterian preacher, and they did so on the charges of what I've just read to you right here, that they say he believes that his Messiah is coming back and going to take over the kingdom of the world, and so they got him jailed that he's part of a conspiracy to bring that in. Amazing, isn't it? That's a Muslim country, you know that. Islam. That's what they fear. They fear the Savior's coming. They've got a cemetery in front of the Eastern Gate around the wall of Jerusalem because they say if Jesus is really a man of God, he won't defile himself by coming through a cemetery and coming through that Eastern Gate. I thought, what a joke. They don't know my Jesus. He's the one who conquered death. He's not afraid of death. Amen. But anyway, who will be there? The heavenly saints, already caught out, coming back. Who will be there? The rebellious nations. You see it in verse 15 here. They'll be gathered to stop him. The book of Matthew chapter 24 tells us that they'll see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and they'll have time together. Can you imagine what the news might say? It might say invasion from space. Aliens coming. We've got to mobilize the nations of the world and fight against them. I don't know what the propaganda will be, but they'll actually be fighting against the Lord. Amen. Why is it righteous? I'll tell you why it's a righteous war, because it's a war against the devil, against evil, against all that is wrong. Today we're seeing all the news heating up over there, and some tremendous bad things happening, and in a sense some good things, because like I told somebody today, things will have to get a little worse before they get much better. And they'll get much better when Jesus comes and a righteous war is waged on old planet Earth, and it's taken back from the devil. And his armies are going to be defeated. They're going to be defeated by the sword that goes out of the mouth here of the righteous one, the Son of God, the Messiah. Big fight today over, does Israel have a right to be in the land? Do they have a right to their temple? I saw where archaeologists just recently over around the Wailing Wall that you see on TV found a little artifact, just a small piece of clay, but it was inscribed there in Hebrew, and it was an artifact that went all the way back 2,700 years to the original temple. Now, let me tell you, Islam hadn't existed that long. Muhammad got his start around 600 A.D., we're talking about something 2,700 years old back there. And yes, it's their capital. Yes, it's their temple. Yes, it's what God gave them. And their deed is in the Bible itself. You need to understand that. But it's amazing how many folks don't seem to. Satan's got a horde of people that he's deceived today. And I'm amazed. I was reading some letter from some jerk in the newspaper, I think, today. How dumb they are that they don't understand they're resisting God. They don't understand because they're deceived. Satan has blinded their eyes and to stand against their maker himself. This is a righteous war. We can see it coming. Present news today, one worldism is the cry. I saw where a California school now has forbidden the singing of the national anthem. It might offend some of the people. I want to tell you, when you get ashamed of America, you ought to leave America. Amen. Something is bad wrong right there. And yet that's going on wholesale today. The thing behind it, you hear me say it, I'm going to keep saying it, one worldism. That's why they don't want any borders. They want to bring them down. I saw where one politician was at a rally the other day, and he had on a T-shirt. We're talking about one already in Congress. And I almost called his name, but I'm afraid I might be wrong. There's several of them that probably fit. But he's wearing a T-shirt, and it says, "I believe in no borders." Elected official in Congress, "I believe in no borders." Then you don't believe in America being a sovereign nation. But that's exactly what is happening. One worldism. We look around today, and we see the borders being attacked by big crowds coming in our southern border, but not only our borders. You go over and you see the news today, the Gaza Strip over in Israel. Remember, we pressured them from Washington, D.C. to give up the Gaza Strip. And exactly what they said happened, now they're being shelled from inside the Gaza Strip. And now they got a mass horde of people going against the wall, setting fires, doing everything they can. And that's what's happening on our southern border here. It's going to get worse, folks. And here's the thing. If the Israeli army or our army on our border opens up and shoots a few folks, we're going to be the bad guys. The bleeding heart liberals today will be the bad guys. You can't have a sovereign nation without enforced borders. That's a ridiculous thing that is going on today. Over in Gaza, they are flying up kites in the air with a little container of gasoline and a way to spark it and fly them over the border, dropping them in the wheat fields, dropping them in the forest. You see some of it on TV. See, we've had a lot of coverage here lately about Korea and all that is fine, but there's some big things happening over in Israel that right now we need to get our eye on. And they're setting those fires everywhere. They're charging to try to cross the border. And Syria, of course, Iran has set up bases in Syria and firing the missiles over into Israel. And Israel has retaliated big time. And I was reading, and I'm so glad it's true, Israel now understands that they've got a president in America that will not hold them back. they can defend themselves. And we will not stop them when they start winning. And we've had a crowd before that would. And so there's a big difference now. Of course, it's the 70-year anniversary. Actually, it's the 69th, fixing to start the 70th year in Israel. I don't know if any of you saw it last night. I watched on TV Judge Jeanine. Anybody see that last night? I'll tell you, that lady spoke up right, even biblically, as she talked about the situation. I don't know if she's a Jew or not. I don't know a thing about it, but I know she had her facts right. And she was nailing it right there. I called out to my wife and I said, "Hey, hear this." I mean, I couldn't have said it any stronger myself than what she was saying. And so truth is getting out there, and it's a big deal. And they are moving against Israel right now. And truthfully, right now, there's a war going on between Iran and Israel. Only Iran has parked their batteries and their missile launchers in Syria. So Israel has to hit there. But I do not see it easing up. It might. It may be the trigger for the big war, because all of us, we've preached it here and read from Ezekiel 38 and all that, to say that Persia, which is Iran, is going to make that move against Israel, because the Bible says they are. I don't know how soon, but it is going to happen. And what we see today seems to be just warming up for it. Begin to happen. All of it is building finally to no other answer except the Lord come back and wage righteous war on his own creation, as it were. Wow. That's what the Bible tells us about. Israel and Iran is certainly in the news. I was proud of the president getting out of that Iranian deal. That was about the most stupid thing we ever done. Even our stupid Congress had not gone along with it. It was nothing but an executive order from President Obama. And there's one good thing about it. What he signed in to a deal with a pen, Trump could unsign with a pen. And I'm glad that he did. My, my, my. That was the craziest thing. Just really crazy. Now, Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, went on TV, and some of you saw some of it. I saw a little bit of it, where he exposed the fact that the Mossad, the Israeli CIA, we'd call them, went into Iran and actually went into their archives and pulled out the information. I've got some of it here. Brother Lee gave it to me back there, Brother Ken Lee. And I can't take time to read it all to you, but it's really interesting. And they actually went in. They had two purposes, really, going into the secret files of Iran. They wanted the Iranian leaders to know, number one, we're ahead of you. We're smarter than you. We can go in into your very secret place and get your stuff. And then they wanted the Iranian people to know. And that was a great embarrassment to the leadership of Iran. But they also wanted the world to know, and especially America to know, what a fool we'd been in the Iranian deal. They never stopped working on their atom bomb business. They never stopped purifying their nuclear fission and all the rest of that stuff to make their nuclear-tipped rockets and all that. All that had not stopped. All we had done was give them $150 billion to speed it up. And much of that in cash. You say that sounds like politics. No, it's Bible being fulfilled. It's Bible being fulfilled. And it's building to the righteous war when the righteous king himself comes back and has to fight and take over this old world as they resist him. It's an interesting time, folks. No doubt about it. In our own nation, the election was a phenomenon. One thing it did, it exposed the corruption that we had worse than we ever thought we had it. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen such hypocrisy, such fakery, such cunning trickery, trying to create a crime that did not exist and spending millions of tax dollars on it. It's crazy, and resisting every good thing, and Trump's doing some good things. When he moves the embassy, that is good. By the way, they are really welcoming on the street in Jerusalem. They got signs up everywhere. And I asked Brother Ken Lee back there. He has a coin. He left it at home. But he has a coin about the size of a half a dollar or maybe a silver dollar. I'm going to ask him to bring it so I can show it to you. It's a coin that Israel is, it's a shekel. It's not for spending. It's more like a commemoration thing. But they've got the coin, and they've got the image of two heads on it. One of the images is Cyrus the Great, which was a great friend to Israel. You read about in the Bible, read about in the book of Daniel. And the other image is Donald J. Trump. And what they're saying is Trump has taken the place, as it were, of Cyrus the Great to side with us. And so it's a coin. I'd like to have one. Brother Ken was over there and he got one. And I'm saying to you that you talk about the welcome back. You talk about hollering a hallelujah for a president. They right now praising Donald Trump above anybody that they've ever had to come over and help them. And right now, he's allowing Israel to pull off the gloves and fight back. Now, I know what I'm saying is not popular with everybody. I've had some pushback on my preaching in favor of Israel. I know that Israel, every Jew needs to get saved through Jesus just like I did. I understand that. But I'm also telling you, God made some promises to Israel he's going to fulfill. And I'm not going to get on the wrong side of that. Somebody said something like, show me something in the New Testament where he's not through with Israel and where the church didn't take it Israel's place. That's replacement theology. I can show you something all through the book of Revelation. I'd show it to you in other books, but how about all the way through the book of Revelation? How many of you read in the book of Revelation where the New Jerusalem is coming down out of from heaven, from God out of heaven? You ever read that? The New Jerusalem? How many gates does it have? 12. What's the name of the gates? 12 tribes of Israel. See, he's not through with them. He's got a plan. Who makes up the 144,000 evangelists in the book of Revelation? 12,000 from 12 tribes. Jews. Don't kid yourself. Don't get on the wrong side of God. Yeah, he said the nation of Israel was the apple of his eye. Yes, they turned their back on him. Yes, they rejected the Messiah. But he also said he would scatter them, but he said he'd bring them back. And he's brought them back. And you read the last verses of the little book of Amos, you'll see what God's final purpose is. And so I'm going to stay on God's side. Because, see, I plan on coming back with him in that army. I'm waiting any day he wants to call me up. The good thing about it, I won't have any boot camp. I'll just attend the marriage supper of the Lamb, the judgment seat of Christ, and get on that white steed and come back. Amen. Amen. That's the truth of the matter, folks. It's going to be a righteous war when the righteous king comes back and sets it up. Amen. You know, Brother Scotty, we were over in the Golan Heights. You remember that? They're massing missiles and army over there now to invade across the same place they tried before in the Six-Day War. Brother Scotty and I were over there. Our guide, who had fought in the Six-Day War, a fairly young man at the time, took us up. It was quite an education. We went up in the Golan Heights. And we saw where the Syrians had poured the concrete and built the big bunkers. And they were shooting down on the valley on Israel, shooting down at the kibbutz. Now, the kibbutz were just little farms. We spent the night in the kibbutz, remember? And where they were growing the crops and everything. And Syria was shooting down on them. And the only way the jets, the planes, the missiles couldn't tear into those bunkers in the mountains because it's poured so thick in concrete. And the only way that Israel could defeat them was come up in the face of fire and go up the hill and invade hand to hand in the bunkers. We went in there, and buried in the concrete was the place that big chains had been hooked. Those chains also went around the ankle of Syrian soldiers. They could not run. They had to stay in there and fight to the death. They were chained in position. That's the way they were treated. And Israel had to go up there and take it in hand-to-hand combat. Now they're massing in the same place to do the same thing, as it were, again. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen again. There in the Golan Heights, no doubt about it. Now, here recently, they fired the missiles. And Israel was able to shoot them down out of the air. Most of them, if not all of them. Now, you think about that. That's hitting a bullet with a bullet. That's amazing. A lot of that is American technology, but let me say this. Israel has a gift of God in their smartness, in their brain power, in their wisdom, and they've taken some of our very best weapons and made them better. Amen. And every now and then you read where we test one, and sometimes we hit and sometimes we don't. They're scoring almost 100% on shooting the missiles out of the air. Folks, stuff is building big time, really, really big time. And it's an amazing, amazing thing. I'm just excited to see what God is doing. You see, I'm getting older, and I'm still counting on seeing the conclusion of this thing. I've been preaching about it too long. And when I see it escalating and speeding up and snowballing like it is, I just say, praise the Lord, come on. And some good things have happened. I mean, our president, with all of his crudeness, he's being used of God. You can't explain it any other way. Who in the world can explain how Little Rocket Man flipped like he did? Huh? I mean, I see God in that. I mean, I read in the newspaper today where he's going to blow up his own luncheon sites over there. Now, if he lives up to that, that is a big switch. Of course, you're not going to get the liberal media to give the president any credit for it. Not at all. It's a dumb bunch that we've got. But I tell you what, they don't know. They're on the losing side. How long it'll take, I don't know. But I know which side I'm on. Amen. And I know when he comes back, the world is going to be shook up, brother. Space invasion, yeah. You could call it that. And it's going to be something to see. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Jesus is going to come back, and there's going to be a righteous war. And the bad guys are going to lose. And he's going to set up his kingdom. And Revelation 20 says we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Wow, that's going to be something. That's the only answer to the mess this world's in right now. I ask you tonight, be sure you're on the right side. Be sure you're saved. Because see, we're his army. If you're saved tonight, we're part of his army. A lot of them's going ahead of us, but we're going to be there. We're going to get called out and then come back with him. Hey, somebody said, being a Christian's pretty dull. Who are you kidding? You don't know what we got ahead of us, brother. I wouldn't trade places with nobody. I'm going to be part of that righteous war. In the meantime, I'm going to war down here for righteousness. And somebody said to me tonight something about my preaching, and they were all for it, of course, so they wouldn't have been here. But I said, yeah, I know it rubs some folks wrong. That's okay. I'm not ashamed to identify which side I'm on. Amen. I'm going to stand right where the Lord wants me to stand until he comes back. He's going to empower me to stand better later on. Amen? How about you tonight? Do you know him? Are you saved for sure? Be sure. Watch the news and read your Bible, and you'll find them just meshing together. Everything coming together just like God said. Amen? All right, let's stand. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we read the back of the book. We know how it turns out. Lord, I thank you I'm on the winning side, and that winning side is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came meek and lowly. Lord, he came and died for our sins. He took the punishment of evil men upon him and died on that cross. But Father, he's coming back the next time with eyes of flaming fire, coming back with a sword of his mouth to conquer the nations, coming back in power and in glory. I thank you, Father, for that. I pray that he would hasten his coming to call his army out, to call the saints home. Let us get prepared to come back with him. Bless in these details. I pray for the physical nation of Israel tonight, that they'll be able to survive. I pray for America, because we've got a lot of people we'd love to yet see saved. But dear God, we know how it's going to turn out. And the Lord Jesus is going to come back in a war of righteousness against evil. We thank you for that. May you bless the invitation tonight. If there's one unsaved, may they come. May we as your people, Father, just continue to see whatever the struggle is here, may it not, Father, draw us away from knowing what the end's going to be and serving you till you come. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We'll sing a verse of invitation. God's asked you to do something. You do it as we sing.
All to Jesus.